From KUT News and the Texas Tribune, this is The Ticket.
We demand our liberty.
You and I know that America deserves better.
Americans have come back from some pretty tough economic times.
Crony capitalism is indeed alive and well.
Today I am running for the presidency of the United States of America.
I'm Jay Root.
And I'm Ben Philpott. This week on the show, he hasn't announced yet, but there's plenty of conjecture on whether or not Vice President Joe Biden will make a run in the Democratic primary. So we'll join the speculation train and talk about what's driving Biden's possible run with ABC News reporter Arlette Sines.
And while running for president is a serious decision, Biden may be best known for his less than serious moments. We'll have a rundown of some of Biden's classics.
And on the Straight Ticket, a reminder of just how far we actually are from November 2016. But first, Jay, kind of an up and down week for Ted Cruz when it came to him being in the spotlight of major events. Middle of the week, he led off a rally in Washington, D.C., him and Donald Trump. But he led off this rally against the nuclear deal with Iran. However, in Kentucky, boy, he just didn't quite make the spotlight.
He tried to get up there on stage to share in the glory with Mike Huckabee. When Kim Davis, mm-hmm. the county clerk in Kentucky, who refused to do same-sex marriages and got jailed for it, and he was not able to get into the live shot.
Now, did he trip? Did he have to stop and tie his shoe? What could have kept him from getting on that stage?
Well, apparently Mike Huckabee's aide physically blocked him, and apparently it went on for, I don't know, like over a minute.
The video's great.
Where he tried to elbow his way in and it didn't work out. I wish we'd had audio on that, though. I'd love to know what they were saying to each other.
It's really funny. You know, you see the man come and immediately just stop Cruz with his left hand out, stopping Cruz, and his right hand pointing to where he says Cruz can go. Cruz at one point starts pointing over to maybe the stage, maybe also there was a press gaggle. And I've seen a couple of reports that the press kept saying, you know, Senator Cruz, to try to get a quote from him. So I think at one point he might have said, well, you know, okay, no stage, but I'm going to go over to the press gaggle. And the guy just, you know, every time Cruz moved 2 feet to the left, he moved 2 feet to the left. He moved a foot to the right. The other guy moved a foot to the right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because Cruz normally does not get outmaneuvered in these types of deals. I was joking that he needs Sheila Jackson Lee, the Texas congresswoman who's known for elbowing her way into the shot in the State of the Union addresses. I think she could have gotten him on that stage.
Well, you know, so he wasn't on the stage, and Mike Huckabee got to take all the, I guess, political glory for that moment. You know, he did not get Kim Davis released from prison. But, you know, Huckabee now is going to be able to talk about that. I would not be surprised if that is maybe the second thing out of Mike Huckabee's mouth at the next GOP debate.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, and Huckabee could use it because he's sort of dimmed lately. I mean, I think he needed something to get in the headlines, I guess. I mean, I think critics of the people who are rallying to Kim Davis's side would say it's a dubious distinction, but hey, this is a Republican primary and everybody needs a little oxygen to keep going.
So Kim Davis is out of jail. The next watch for Kim Davis, I think, you know, a couple of things. Number one, does she refuse the next time somebody comes in? And I think number two, at what point does she change her party affiliation?
Well, I mean, honestly, I have to admit, I was shocked when I found out she was a Democrat.
It has not been reported much, and you can talk to some people in the KUT newsroom. I've been a little irritated that it has not been reported that she's a Democrat. I feel like if she were a Republican, that would be maybe the second thing mentioned in every story about her, Republican Kim Davis. But yeah, she's a Democrat. And, you know, she was seen in pictures yesterday with, of course, every single Republican across Kentucky and then Cruz and Huckabee. I sense that maybe she might be rethinking her party affiliation.
Yeah, I think she's probably a good party switching candidate and probably a candidate for something. I mean, this is going to be good for her, at least in the short term. Politically speaking, good for her in the short term. I'm not sure about legally.
Will he or won't he? That's been the big question on the 2016 campaign trail for the last month. What's Joe Biden going
to
do?
To help provide more insight into what's helping Biden come to that decision, we're joined by ABC News digital reporter Arlette Sines, who's been shadowing Biden over the last few weeks. Hello, Arlette.
Hey, guys.
How long have you been covering Biden?
I've been covering Biden since August of 2012, when I covered him when he was running for a second term as vice president, all the way through Election Day, and then kind of off and on for the past few years. And I've actually been traveling with him over the past week.
So how have you seen things change as he's as this speculation has grown to what he might do for 2016?
Well, over the past few years, he's really just been toying with the run. But in the past month, we've learned that he is actually considering this a little bit more deeply than we had previously thought. And Vice President Joe Biden is still a man who is grappling with the death of his son, Beau. And at times you see him in complete anguish, like we did last week at an Atlanta synagogue, where he said his family just doesn't know if they can handle another run. And other times, like this past Monday on Labor Day out in Pittsburgh, it was like campaign Joe Biden was out in full force as he was running down a parade route, schmoozing with voters, kissing babies, the whole nine yards. So it's really right now unknown how the vice president's going to lean, as he's still considering the family impact of a race should he decide to run, especially if they're dealing with his son's death.
Well, how can't this issue of his son's death, it sort of cuts both ways, doesn't it? Because I guess I read a report that, I mean, Beau Biden did tell Joe Biden that he thought he should run, or what exactly happened there?
So there are some reports that before Beau Biden passed away, he asked the vice president to go ahead and run in 2016. And we know that Beau Biden was one of the vice president's biggest supporters. He had told his close friends and allies that he hoped his father would seek the presidency. And that might be something that the vice president's weighing right now. But he also has to figure out whether his family can handle a run. He has run two other times before, in 1988 and again in 2008. So he knows the burdens that a presidential campaign can place on a family. And he has to figure out whether they can handle it, especially as they're still dealing with Beau's death.
I was really fascinated by what the White House said about this when Josh Earnest, the press secretary, was asked. It sort of said a lot of really flattering things about Biden, and, you know, didn't seem to say as many flattering things about Hillary Clinton, or at least that's the way it was interpreted. How is the White House reacting to this split, among top Obama people?
Well, the White House and President Obama are both trying to give Vice President Joe Biden the room to decide whether or not he wants to run. And we saw earlier this week, Hillary Clinton's actually saying that too, saying that she thinks that the vice president would make a good president, and that she thinks that he deserves the decision, the time to decide whether or not he's going to pursue another bid. The White House isn't necessarily taking sides in this fight, but they are going to let the vice president make up his mind. And White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest has actually said that President Obama would maybe endorse in the Democratic primary. We know that he's going to vote in the Illinois primary in March. But if Joe Biden does end up running against Hillary Clinton, we could potentially see the president weigh in.
So I've heard a few different pundits over the last week talking about the idea of how people react differently to the possibility of a candidate Biden to then what the reaction will be if he announces and if he gets in. And in other words, they were saying that right now he's on this kind of farewell vice presidential goodwill trip, when he goes around and visits with people, and there's a lot of great feeling towards him and, sympathy for his family and just enjoying him being there. But that if he were to decide to run, then you see the gloves come off, and then you see people bringing up, some of his famous gaffes over the last few years, and that this kind of moment of goodwill and happiness that he is feeling on the trail right now would evaporate, and maybe that's the anguish, where he's trying to decide how much strength he has to go on.
Right. And in the polls right now, he's certainly doing very well as he's slowly creeping up closer to Hillary Clinton. There was a national poll this week that showed a 22% actually supported him running. But as most politicians say, the only poll that matters is on Election Day. And these polls could certainly change as soon as he actually enters the race. And I've spoken with some donors who have spoken with the Hillary Clinton campaign. These donors, some of them are considering maybe going with the vice president should he decide to run. these donors have told me that Clinton's campaign has said to them, we are the winning ticket. And when Vice President Joe Biden gets into the, if he does get into the race, people will start to see that. And so we'll really have to see how the country reacts to a potential race. He has run two times before. Hillary Clinton has run once before. So he knows what it takes to run for president. It's just a matter of whether he wants to actually go through it.
One of the things that set off this really this frenzy of speculation was that he met with Senator Elizabeth Warren. Has he done anything else like that? I mean, obviously we had the Labor Day thing, but has he done anything else where he's like really actively looking at this? What are some of the other developments that are, is there, you know, to try to read the tea leaves about the which way he's leaning?
Well, in the past week, or in the past 2 weeks, he was unable to attend the DNC summer meeting, but he did hold a conference call with DNC members to talk about the Iran deal. During that conference call, was asked whether he would run for president, and he said he's still trying to gather the emotional energy. We've seen him out on the campaign trail. There are reports that he will be inviting, or he has already invited donors to the Naval Observatory for a meeting. And right now, he's really just feeling out his closest advisors about whether or not he can run. Now, there's obviously the vice president's racing against the clock at this point, because pretty soon in the coming months, there's going to be filing deadlines in all of the states. We have the first Democratic debate October 13th coming up. So a lot of people think that the vice president's going to have to make up his mind before that time frame.
As I understand it, Joe Biden would be the oldest candidate ever sworn in as president if he were elected. I believe that may even apply to Reagan's second term, but certainly as in the first term, he would be the oldest. Is that and actually that really has not come up much. It hasn't been a big point that people you see it mentioned, but it's not talked about that much. Do you think that is that an issue? Are people talking about that? And does that play a role at all in his decision?
I personally haven't heard people talking about that, his supporters, or anything from the vice president. If you saw him in that Labor Day parade on Monday when he's zigzagging across the parade route and running, he surely likes to show his youthful spirit. Earlier this year, we had that fun video of him and President Obama working out and running down the colonnade outside the Rose Garden. But I haven't heard them talk about age being a factor, but it could be something that's weighing on his mind as well.
So what have you heard from people at some of these Biden events? You know, what are, when they say, you know, this is my guy if he runs, I'm, you know, not Hillary, not Bernie, what are they giving reasons?
Well, I've run into people who are diehard Joe Biden fans. I've ran into people who just want some type of alternative to Hillary Clinton. They're troubled by all of the email scandal and her response to it. A lot of them, back on Labor Day, I was talking to a lot of union members, and they really liked Joe Biden because they said that he stands up for the working class, and unions are a group that he's been appealing to since his early run as a senator back in the 70s. And a lot of people, and you can see this in the polls also, a lot of people I've talked to have said that Joe Biden is just authentic. And he often jokes around that he gets in trouble sometimes for saying what he means. But if you look at the polls, there's a lot of a mistrust that people have towards Hillary Clinton. And then you look at Joe Biden, he actually has higher trustworthy numbers than her. And that's just something that I've kind of heard when I've been out at some of these events talking to voters. But a lot of people just want another alternative. And Joe Biden entering the 2016 race would certainly make it more interesting if Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders had a stronger challenger.
Well, you mentioned him getting in trouble when he opens his mouth. That doesn't appear to be a problem on the Republican side, especially with Donald Trump. So maybe that won't really drag him down.
Well, I just wonder, like, maybe if this is the year of authenticity, I mean, you can't get more authentic, right, than Joe Biden?
That's right. And some people on the Republican side would say you can't get more authentic than Donald Trump. And I mean, just dating back to when I covered him back in 2012, Joe Biden's one of the best retail politicians out there. And he also just is completely honest. And some people have called him Honest Joe. And that might be something that people are really craving in this election.
You are a veteran of different presidential campaigns. Has this started to feel like a presidential campaign yet?
Some sometimes it does feel like a presidential campaign, but everything that the vice president has been doing so far is all under official business. But when you go to Pittsburgh on Labor Day to rally union workers, there's no doubt that people are wondering, is this actually a presidential campaign, and are you road testing your message? He's been talking about the middle class a lot. He's been talking about labor. He's been talking about education. His wife is out on the road today with President Obama talking about community college. So there's certainly a little bit of interest in whether this is actually turning into a campaign, but we'll have to see in the coming weeks whether that becomes true.
Arlette Sines works for ABC News, and just like me and Jay, she's a refugee from the 2012 Rick Perry presidential campaign. Arlette, great to talk with you again.
Thanks, guys.
So there's the serious take on a Biden presidential bid, but there's another side of Biden, the side that sticks his foot in his mouth, the side that makes funny faces to the crowd while the president is speaking, even if it's at the State of the Union.
So we wanted to run down some of those moments, and we're going to start with probably his most famous one, and maybe the first time we've heard the vice president drop an F-bomb in public.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Joe.
Good to be with you, Mr. President.
You could barely hear it, but I think that was why we got the hearty, very hearty, thanks, Joe,
yes,
from President Obama.
It certainly would make sense. You can see on his face when Joe leans in and says that, the president immediately kind of cuts his eyes towards the microphone and is probably thinking to himself, well, I knew this.
What are you going to do? Yeah. I selected this guy. I knew it coming in.
So, you know, it's interesting, though. This thing that we've just listened to, some people would call that a gaffe. But, you know, I usually think of gaffes as mistakes, you know, like forgetting the third government agency that you're going to shut down if elected president. But that's not what Biden does. Sometimes he just lets his mouth get ahead of his brain. Like at this political rally, when he was pointing out the different local elected officials in attendance.
And I also am told that Chuck Graham, state senator, is here. Chuck, stand up. Chuck, let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, though, pal. Thank you very, very much. I tell you what, stand up for Chuck.
In case you're not familiar with this one, the reason he said everyone else should stand up for Chuck is because Chuck was in a wheelchair.
I think... you know, to the extent that you have gaffes that reinforce some negative image that people have of you, that's not good. And I think the exhibit A would be Rick Perry, and in some cases, really, honestly, unfairly so. In some cases, maybe fairly. I mean, the oops moment was a terrible moment. But like Ronald Raven, for example, when he said that in the debate, I mean, anybody can sort of have a verbal miscue that
right.
way. It's not that big of a deal, but because it reinforces that narrative track, it's bad. I think with Biden, what ends up happening is it's like politically incorrect, and this may be actually a good year to be politically incorrect. You know, again, maybe the timing issue. Time will tell.
Well, here's another example of maybe his mouth getting ahead of his brain here at the White House as he's introducing someone.
The Taoiseach knows a lot about it. His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul. I got to get this straight.
You know, so there's another example, the mouth before the brain kicks in. But, you know, Biden also does this thing, does things that we can't show you on the podcast. I'm sure most of you listening have seen that creepy picture of Biden looking through a window at the White House. It's, you know, been a part of dozens of different memes on the internet. And you've probably seen the different faces that he makes during a presidential speech, even, of course, as we said, during the State of the Union.
Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon sure has noticed. In fact, he came up with a little game on his show about Biden's faces.
We've done this on the show before. When Obama gives a speech and Biden's there, we like to see exactly how long it takes for Biden to do something weird and steal the spotlight. Last time it was about 2 seconds. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, let's see how long it takes this.
It is. Yeah.
4.17 seconds.
And those in those 4.17 seconds, Biden comes in directly behind the president. And then just as he's starting to speak, he makes a funny face and kind of does a quick little body tick to the side. But, you know, that's just kind of Joe being Joe. However, there are some examples of him, you know, clearly saying something that, you know, is just maybe it's a simple mistake, but it's a mistake that you shouldn't make when you're on the campaign trail. Now, my friends know that I should never, ever, ever criticize someone's spelling because I'm a horrible speller. But here's something from Joe.
Does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class. And it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S.
And, you know, sometimes Biden, besides making these spelling errors or forgetting when somebody's dead or alive, steps in it by, well, maybe being a little too honest. Like at this campaign event before the 2008 presidential election, when he got a little too real.
Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be Vice President of the United States of America. Let's get that straight. She's a truly close personal friend. She is qualified to be President of the United States of America. She's easily qualified to be Vice President of the United States of America. And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me, but she's first rate.
So I think we can both predict what Hillary Clinton's first video campaign ad will be if Joe Biden gets in the race.
Or certainly her first attack ad, if it comes to that. I think this bite will be coming back to a TV screen near you. And classic Joe.
Yeah, and you know, he was just trying to, he was trying to be nice. He was trying to be genuine. He was trying to essentially say that yes, she didn't win the election, but there's, you know, she's a great person and could be a great politician, could be great at this job. But yeah, just, you know, that's not exactly what you want to hear maybe out of
somebody. I'm not sure that would necessarily hurt him, though, because, you know, it'd basically be like, hey, he's saying something nice about her. I mean,
well, that's true.
I think people get that. People get that the circumstances were different.
Well, you know, we look forward to whatever Joe may say if he enters the race. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. And as Jay said over and over again, this might be the year where authentic but stumbling at times is the key to a victory. Now, here's the straight ticket. It's early. Too early to know who's going to win a party nomination, let alone the 2016 presidential election. Right? I mean, the second week of September 2011 brought us the pinnacle of Rick Perry's race to the front of the GOP field. A month later, he'd be in third place. A month after that, fourth. The next, fifth. And in the coming weeks, we'd see Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum all jump ahead of eventual nominee Mitt Romney. Romney wouldn't take the lead for good in the national polls until the end of February 2012. Back in 2008, Hillary Clinton had a 20-point lead over Barack Obama at this point. She even had a 20-point lead in national polls on the day of the Iowa caucus, where she came in third, behind Obama and John Edwards. Okay, so way too early to look at national polls. What about the early primary state polls? Well, an average of polls taken before the Iowa caucus in 2008 show Hillary Clinton's 20-point lead nationally didn't give her an advantage in the Hawkeye state. She was back and forth with John Edwards from the start, and a few months later, Obama joined the three-way fight. On the GOP side, well, here the numbers very evenly matched the national trends. So at this point in 2012, Rick Perry was on top in Iowa, with Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, and Rick Santorum all waiting in the wings to take turns at the top of the Iowa polls. Mitt Romney was almost always in second, running just below the flavor of the month. So both national and Iowa caucus polls were off at this point in previous races. So what do the polls say now? They say Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will face off in 2016. One nomination is considered plausible, the other impossible. So are the polls right or wrong? I'm going to say the polls are absolutely right at this moment in time. Will Trump win the GOP nomination? My guess is still no, but right now he has captivated a segment of the GOP primary voter. And that group, right now, is very, very, very excited about the chance of electing President Trump. But if they change their mind, the polls will shift too. The press and the GOP establishment have been forecasting a Trump slide for a while now. The next opportunity for that slide to begin is the second GOP debate on September 16th. Okay, one final plug. Our live podcast is set for September 16th. For those who live out of town, you can watch it on our YouTube channel. We'll include a link to it in our show notes, and the live stream will be up on KUT.org and TexasTribune.org the night of September 16th.
And there's been a time change for the debate. It now starts at 8 Eastern instead of 9. So our live show will begin around 7:15 Eastern, 6:15 Central, and so on. Remember, our special guest is Jennifer Rubin, writer of the Washington Post Right Turn blog.
Got a topic or a question you'd like for us to explore on a future episode? Give us a call, 512-943-2016, or send us an email, theticket2016@gmail.com. Please tell us your name when you call so we can give you credit if we use your question or suggestion.
You can find all of our Ticket episodes on iTunes. Just search The Ticket 2016. And you can follow us on Twitter. At The Ticket 2016.
The Ticket is a co-production of KUT News and the Texas Tribune. Matt Largie is our editor. David Alvarez is the studio engineer. And our theme music is by Ben Root. Thanks for listening.